morning.
How are you guys today?
Hi.
Well, today has been kind of different, hasn't it? I mean, you look around and we started the coffee at 9:15 rather than 9:30 today, and meeting Pastor Karna. And we've got name tags. And then after church, we're going to be doing something different. We're going to be taking down all of our Christmas decorations. And then if you take a look, you know, I came up here, and usually when I do children's message, I usually have a clipboard, don't I? And my orange bag, and I don't have that. I'm going without it. I'm kind of nervous. I'm kind of scared. I don't have anything here. But somebody who else might be scared and a little nervous is that lady behind us, Pastor Karna. Because this is her first Sunday with everybody here. And normally, Pastor, usually at this point, we do a little lesson with the children about God or Jesus, the Bible, a lesson that we want to get across and have a prayer. But today we're going to do something different. Today, we're going to come back here, and we're going to meet Pastor Karna. So, if you want to visit amongst yourselves, just hold it down. But what we're going to do is we're going to come up here. Come on up this way, and gather around Pastor Karna here. And we'll let Pastor Karna go first, but all be thinking about this. Tell Pastor Karna maybe your name and your age, what grade you're in, and just something about yourself that you like to do, okay? We're going to let Pastor Karna go first. I bet I know what you're going to be saying.
Pastor Karna first.
Hi. I'm Pastor Karna. My name's Karna Peterson. I'm not going to tell you my age. This is Kinley. I'm real excited to be here with all of you. And I don't have any children, but I have a goddaughter, Stacy, and that's Kinley's mom. So when I refer to my grandchildren, her kids are my grandchildren. They're the closest thing I'm going to have to grandchildren. So she has a sister, Courtney, who's 21, a brother, Colton, who's 19, and then Kinley's 4. And Kinley loves going to Mimi's church, don't you? Yeah. Can you tell him what grade you're in? No, she's in preschool. She's excited to go back. But I'm real excited to be here, and I'm real excited to get to know you guys.
My name is Dawson Medley. I am 10. I am in fifth grade, and I love playing baseball.
My name is Briley Brooks, and I like playing soccer.
All right.
I'm Brighton Brooks, and I'm 8, and I'm in third grade, and I like playing video games.
Say your name?
No. Okay, this is Aiden, and this is Ayla, and their brother and sister, and they belong to Allie. And yes, you're going to have a new one entering your family, right? Baby sister you're going to have.
How exciting.
Yes. And we're happy that all of you guys are here today. And can we say a prayer before you leave? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to have this time together. We thank you for introducing Pastor Karna to our children and to our congregation. We welcome her into our family as we care for one another and will look after one another. In this we pray. Amen.
Thanks, guys.
I hate to say this because they're two very pretty long readings, but if you would please stand if you're able for the gospel reading. Today's readings are from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, and the book of John, the first book of John, verses 1 through 18. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that comes from heaven. God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in God's presence before the creation of the world. God destined us to be his adopted children through Jesus Christ because of his love. This was according to his good will and plan, and to honor his glorious grace that he has given to us freely through the Son whom he loves. We have been ransomed through his Son's blood, and we have forgiveness for our failures based on his overflowing grace, which he poured over us with wisdom and understanding. God revealed his hidden design to us, which is according to his good will and the plan that he intended to accomplish through his Son. This is what God planned for the climax of all times, to bring all things together in Christ, the things in heaven along with the things on earth. We have also received an inheritance in Christ. We were destined by the plan of God, who accomplishes everything according to his design. We are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to hope in Christ. You too heard the word of truth in Christ, which is the good news of your salvation. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit because you believed in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on our inheritance, which is applied towards our redemption as God's own people, resulting in the honor of God's glory. Now from the first book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, crying out, "This is the one of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is greater than me because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, as the law was given through Moses. So grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made God known." Here ends the reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here with all of you. As most of you know, I hurt my shoulder in December and dislocated my shoulder. And I went and saw the doctor on Friday, and I don't have to wear my sling anymore, which is a good thing. But it kind of hurt to type, and it's been a little busy. So I actually got a sermon and got permission to use it off the internet. It was written by Pastor Stephen Molan, and tweaked it a little bit to do nowadays. But so probably for a couple weeks until my therapy kicks in, I might not write my sermons, I might use, but I will let you know. So let us pray. Lord, may the words I speak be those you want spoken. May the words we hear be those you want heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'd like to wish you all a very happy new year. I wish for you this year good health, a sense of peace in your relationships, fulfillment in your personal life, and a sense of pride in your achievements. May 2020 be the greatest year for you, that you won't mind that it's leap year, that we're going to have 366 days of bliss. Do you like endings or do you like beginnings? I think maybe sometimes I like beginnings better than endings. Now, a football game, usually the ending is better than a beginning, especially if my team ends winning. I like the ends of movies and the ends of a good mystery novel. But when it comes to the calendar, I like beginnings better than endings. I appreciate the fact that it's new. It's like a blank canvas, and it holds much possibility for all of us. But on second thought, maybe it's more to do with the fact that a year has came to an end, and all the mistakes I made in 2019 are now part of history, and I can simply erase them. Now, maybe some of you came to church today and were surprised that we're still singing Christmas carols. Because for many of us, the Christmas trees are packed away in the closet or sitting out on the curb. Decorations are coming down, credit card bills are coming in, and Christmas is fading away. But in the church, we get one last view of Christmas today. The church season of Epiphany doesn't begin until tomorrow. So technically, we're still in Christmas mode. But more than that, in the church, we are still reflecting on what it means that Jesus came into our lives one day, so many centuries ago. When Luke tells the story of the first Christmas, he fills us in on all the details that we love to hear. The story of the manger, a young couple, the shepherds, and the wise men. It's a story that we never get tired of hearing. But when John wrote his gospel, he has a whole different approach to Christmas. He begins his account of Christmas with three simple words: in the beginning. In other words, for John, Jesus didn't just start at Christmas. Jesus has always been here. In the beginning, before there were houses, before there were roads, even before there was a Bethlehem, Jesus was with God. In fact, he was the living Word of God, and he helped create the world. In the beginning, before anything else existed. John tells us this in order to teach us that Jesus was God. It's a concept that's so huge that we have difficulty wrapping our minds around it. That Jesus was in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit, but he came down to earth in the form of a human being. He walked among the people. Even though he was God, he subjected himself to things like hunger and thirst and exhaustion. He was God, but he allowed himself to be insulted, teased, and tormented. He walked on the earth for 33 years, an earth that he himself created. And yet most people never even recognized him. That's what John's gospel says. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. Pastor Mullen tells about a friend he had who was named Kim, and Kim retired from the State Highway Patrol. But in the later years of his career, it was his job to escort dignitaries around the state. Kim told about a time when President Clinton came to town. He wanted to go jogging one morning. Kim followed the president's car to the park. Clinton was dressed in a gray sweatsuit, got out of the car, and walked a few hundred feet and then stopped to stretch. About that time, an elderly couple came upon him on their morning walk. The president's back was to them, and they didn't recognize him. They were within inches of the most powerful man in the free world, and they didn't even know it. That's the sort of oblivious condition in which people of the first century lived. God was in the world, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people would not accept him. Most people didn't even have a clue. They thought he was wiser than most. They admired his teaching, and they were astonished by his miracles. But they didn't know who he was. Some said a troublemaker, others said a prophet, but few recognized him as God. But some did. This is how John tells it. He was in the world, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people would not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Mission accomplished. That's what Jesus came to do. From the very beginning, that was his plan. He would come into the world and love people into the family of God. And all who follow him, all who believe in him, were no longer strangers to God. They were children of God. Amazing grace is what that was. It's a new year. It's a time for new beginnings. Now, some of us might have started a new diet. Some of us might say, well, we're going to start that diet tomorrow. And that's always the best day to start a diet, tomorrow. Other of us might be starting school or starting a new job, or maybe some of us have retired. Still others are beginning a more difficult chapter in their lives today. Maybe you're starting over as a single person because of death, or you're starting the new year as an unemployed person or a person with a life-threatening illness. But none of us start this new year alone, not if we believe in Jesus Christ, because he promises to be with us every day in the coming year. In the darkened world, he brings us light. Among people who are destined to die, and all of us are destined to die, Jesus promises us life. In a world where the past often haunts us, he chooses to forgive the past and presents with us a future that is filled with blessings and grace. God chooses to give us new beginnings every day. And this is the promise that we have. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And that is the promise that Jesus wants to give to you. It's his promise to forgive all your sins and all your failures. It's God's promise to erase the record of your broken promises and shattered dreams. It's a second chance, a blank canvas, a new beginning for all of us. And it's a new beginning for this church. It's a new beginning because you have a new pastor. And as a new pastor serving this church, just think of all the things we can do. Everything that happened in the past is now erased. It's in the past. as a church family, we have a blank canvas. I can't wait to see what God has planned for this church, for you, and for me. Just think of all the things we can do for Alpha, for the community, for this church, if we all work together. According to John, all you have to do is receive the gift, and it's yours. A new beginning from a loving God. So happy New Year, and happy new you. Thanks be to God. Amen.